produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello. Good evening. Thank you for joining me today on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network. Let me start by saying just how excited I am to be able to share with you. It's long been a prayer of mine to be able to expand my territory in helping to spread the knowledge of the living spirit. This has been something that has been on my heart, and it's something that is very close to my heart, and that's prayer itself. So let's discuss prayer. What exactly is prayer? And just how important is it? And how can you be sure if you're even doing it right? Well, most of us as children were taught the Lord's Prayer. And this was the prayer taught by Jesus in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And if it was important enough for Christ to lay down guidelines, then a conversation with God must be very important indeed. When I was a child, I very much enjoyed changing things around to make them more clear and more personal to me. So when I was alone, I would have fun doing that with songs and even with the Lord's Prayer itself. Like I would change the word our in Our Father to my. But did you ever think about the words of the Lord's Prayer and what you were actually saying? Let's recite it as it is written before we go into the etymology of the words and what we're supposed to be thinking about. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And let's start with the word Father. If you were blessed enough to have an earthly father, and he was even a fraction of what the dictionary says a father should be, then you already know how important this study of this particular prayer is to us grasping just a very small part of how much God loves us. The dictionary says a father is a male in relation to his natural children. It also says that he is a devout elder, known to care for and protect and nurture and defend an offspring, the originator, a cherished ancestor. Now that's just the definition of a flesh and blood human man. Now let's not forget that the Lord's Prayer is talking about the sovereign creator of all, the source, the Alpha and Omega, and he loves each of his creations so much that he would and did go through great lengths just to see that we are cared for, protected, and have every chance to stay in relationship and covenant with him, even down to sending his only begotten son to die in our place. When I think of this, I can hardly get past those first two words. And remember, I changed it to my father. Just to think, my father. But that only is the beginning. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus taught that the kingdom of heaven is within each of us. So let's get real excited right here, because we were created and God placed in us his ruha, his own spirit within us. So we can honestly say that we carry around the very spirit of God, and it is holy. By whatever name you choose to the acknowledgement of your creator, you are the extension of God on this earthly plane. So we are the ones to usher in the peace of the kingdom here by doing his will here, right here. Causes a shift in thinking and in bringing about a change, because as above, so below. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, bread doesn't just mean food. After all, Jesus himself said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So in this case, it means give us the knowledge and discernment to be able to recognize your voice when you speak to our hearts, so as to be able to repent and ask for forgiveness. At those times when our humanity overcomes us, then knowing that we're forgiven, we have to be able to extend in kind that forgiveness to someone who has offended us, or we thought has offended us, because after all, it's only in perception anyway. Lead us away from the temptations of this life and deliver us from whatever evil snare that may be trying to separate us from the purpose you have for our lives. This kingdom of believers, that's us. This kingdom of believers that God has given the power to will bring about the glory and honor that is his alone. Jesus taught this way of communicating with the Father so that the disciples would actually be able to quickly acknowledge that they were first surrounded by a unified field of awareness, in which as soon as they realize that they're in constant connection with God, our very consciousness would change from one of defeat to the awareness that this power of the Creator flows through us. We are surrounded by it, and we move in it, and we breathe in it, and we have our very existence because of it. In short, I and my Father are one. And from that elevated thought pattern, we can claim and affirm the highest and best in whatever situation there is. God's nature is to impart, and ours is to receive. But believe me, you cannot receive if you are operating from a low vibration, meaning if you don't realize what you mean to God and just how important you are to him. This is why, you see, some people seem to manifest so quickly while others seem to struggle so hard. Now, we all know that God is no respecter of person. Each of us will receive just as much as we desire. Now, the problem is, do you think you're deserving of it? Do you think that you're worthless? Now, do you think for one minute that you could possibly be worthless to the Father and he still guides, leads, and protects you? He even protects you from yourself. Faith in the Father's love has the power to oppose, to neutralize, and obliterate all negative thoughts. That is why it is so important to know what we are saying to God and what he says to and about us. It stands to reason that if thought, faith, prayer, and hope are connected, then we are definitely to think of it as a truth. And if they are definitely truth, then they must be specific in order to accomplish their desire. Prayer must be specific. And I know we were all taught God knows your heart, and yes, he does. But Jesus himself taught how to pray in the affirmative. He always prayed in the affirmative. And there is something to be said for affirmative prayer. And actually, there are actually steps. And if you think about these steps, then you know that the Lord's Prayer followed these steps. And the first step of an affirmative prayer is recognition. And that simply means that you know God is. And you acknowledge that the divine force, the divine mind, the divine law, whatever you want to call it, is flowing in, around, and through you, all things. It's omnipresent and the source of all that is. And when you think about that, you know that you and your Father are one. So after you recognize this, step two would be unification. And that step is, I am. Acknowledge that everything is interconnected and interdependent. Separation is an illusion. It's all an illusion. We are one with everything that exists. One in this oneness. We are one with God. And the third step would be realization. And that's just, if you place your desires good into the divine law, into the mind of God, into the very face of God, and you tell your Lord, this is what I desire. You just realize that the divine force is flowing through everything, including each of us, all of the time. So therefore, I accept that I am one with whatever good I am asking for. And knowing that, I know it'll all manifest in my life for the highest and good for me. Now that means that when you realize that, you can't say, but I want it this way, and I want it this color, and I want it on this date. No, it's aligning your mind with the divine mind and letting the will of God flow through you. And the quicker you learn that, the quicker it will manifest. Now, God doesn't say no. Sometimes he just says, not right now. And that's for your highest and best too. I know we can't see it sometimes, but it is. Step four is thanksgiving. And that's the grateful acceptance. And it's very important to feel gratitude. This is considered one of the most important steps because the attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving is most essential. You feel this thanksgiving deeply and you feel the beauty of the fact that what you are asking for will manifest. Know this to be true and express this knowledge through gratitude, through joy, through peace, through praising and knowing that your God is listening to you, your Father, who wants you to have everything. He made everything beautiful for us. He made us to be abundant. The only thing that can stop your blessings is you. There is absolutely nobody in this world that can stop what God has for you. What God has for you is for you. And God is not a respecter of person that your next door neighbor would have a better home, would have a better atmosphere than would you. You have to know this. When you pray, you have to know the answer to the prayer is within the prayer itself. And the fifth step is release. You just release it all into the universe. Release your words into the divine law. Physicists call it something like the unified field of first cause. But the first cause of everything is God. Before anything was God. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. Knowing that all the good you've asked for will be. You have now planted the seeds. And they have to manifest according to universal law of cause and effect. Because as you sow, so shall you reap. The divine law reflects back what you release into it. So your benediction declares it to be so. Like, amen. And so it is. And so be it. And this is the truth. The things like that that you say at the end of a prayer. Affirmative prayer is a direct, focused, and organized process using five steps to manifest your desired outcome. Affirmative prayer is an essential component of a created mindset and the first step to set the creative process in motion. And when I say creative, do you know you can ask God anything? Do you know you can talk to God about anything? I just said, my father. You're talking to someone who wants a relationship. You're talking to a force so great that his thoughts created everything. And his desire to be with his creations caused him to breathe his life into you. Adam was a lump of clay before God breathed his breath into him. And look at all the wonderful things that he created before he created Adam. Our prayer to our Father is our conversation. Now you're asking him, in essence, all of the good that he did, all of the things that he prepared for us were in his mind. And you're asking him to bring all of that here right now on this plane in front of you for you to enjoy. But to make sure that you are humble and to make sure that you're not greedy and to make sure that you don't fall into the trap of thinking that you're better than anyone else so that you don't be judged, judge ye not. Don't think like the Sadducees and the Pharisees that they were so much better than the poor sinner that was praying next to him. There is nothing better or nothing less than. We are all equal, equally loved in the eyes of God. And when you do an affirmative prayer like the Lord's Prayer and ask for exactly what you need, that shows God that you understand. I'm going to give you some homework. I'm going to give you, sit down and write. And you write this in your own words because not everybody needs the same things at the same time. But whatever it is that you need, know that you can ask God for it. You ask him using these steps. First, recognize that God is God. You might, just whatever you call God, you might want to make up your own statements of fact. But they have to be a fact of how great God is and how you know he is there and how you know he is a part of you. And then place yourself square in the middle of that. And just know that God flows around and supports you. Then say what it is that you desire. And for all that you think about praise. Praise and worship is one of the, oh, I just love praise and worship. You can just sit and you can think about how great God is. And for me, I can scarcely keep myself still. When I think about all the things that I already have, all the things that I've already been through, whatever it is that I'm about to go through, but that God is with me and I will not be utterly cast down. There is nothing more supportive in the world than knowing that you know that you know that God has you in the palm of his hand. And knowing that you know that you know that that is exactly what he wants. When you do God's will, when you show your love, when you know that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, nothing. I know sin separates us from God. But when you have God that is so, so willing to forgive, you repent and you mean it with your whole heart. And God forgives. It doesn't matter. God forgives. Did you know that God called David, King David, murderer David, adulterer David, a man after his own heart? Why? Because when David did come to his senses after whatever he did, he repented wholeheartedly to God. And God, being Father, was most ready to accept his child back. A father, a lover, a brother, a friend, you cannot find anything that God is not, that is worthwhile, and that is all love. And God is love all the time. You were made and created in love. by love, because love needs relationship. Think about that. The next time you get ready to pray, the very next time you get ready to sit down for your evening prayer, I sit down at night and reflect. Did I do what I decided I wanted to do all day long? Did I let God flow through me in order to do this, or did I use my own will? Did I hurt anyone? Did I insult anyone? Did I show the grace and the mercy of God through my being? Because that's important. We can possibly be the only God that somebody knows. Not everybody wants to read the Bible. Not everybody goes to church, and not everybody lives in circumstances that are compatible with love. It's very important for me to know that I did the best I could, because first thing in the morning, I ask God to guide me all day long and not to leave me to my own devices. That's what I mean when I say God saves you from yourself, because the self has these little ego trips every now and then. I say every 30 seconds you have an ego trip, whether you know it or not. God saves you from yourself. I ask him to keep me humble. I ask him to use me as his vessel and to show kindness and beauty to others. Part of my job is to work with women who have problems with hair loss, maybe because of medication, maybe because of illnesses, but it doesn't matter. These women come and they sit in my chair, and sometimes they're at the lowest that they have ever been in their entire lives. And it's my job to let them know that they are beautiful. It is my job. And I always tell them, don't worry about your hair. You can have hair or you can be here. And God will help me create what you want to see when you look into the mirror. And I have found that some of them cry at the end of our sessions because they enjoy what they see. And the love of God on those women's faces when they light up. Because the whole time I'm doing this, I'm telling them, I'm giving them knowledge about who they are in God, and they must still be here for a reason. There is something that they have not finished. There are people that they need to touch. And we go through the affirmative prayer steps without them even knowing that that's what we're doing. God has put us all here for a purpose. And his purpose is to recreate his kingdom right here. And we need all the help we can get in doing that. Our God loves us, and he loves us so much that he made us in his image. And to that effect, we have to realize when we say things that we are representations of God. We are divine emanations, and it's not a thing that you can do that will cause God to be displeased if you just repent and say you're sorry. He understands mistakes. And he understands truth. And God knows the heart. We can speak in error, but as soon as we do, if we come to our senses like David did, and apologize, and then praise. You can't think about the stuff that you're going through and the stuff that you have come through without saying thank God. We shouldn't be able to, because everything in our lives should be a thank God. I give thanks for the knowledge. I give thanks for the time that I spend in this word. I give thanks for the time that I just sit in silence and let God pour into me what I need to do. And I don't always understand it. I won't tell you that I always understand it. Sometimes I've been a little like Jonah and decided I was going to swim my own way. I didn't get swallowed by a fish. But a lot of the problems that I caused were a lot bigger than a whale. And I had to come back. And to come back to center and to understand what I know about God, that God is, and I am grateful. and I just put it all on God. I don't know a lot of times what to do, but something inside of me does. That spark of God, that knowledge of God, and the more I think about it, the deeper I go, and the more I want to learn, and the more I want to learn, the more I want to praise, and the more I praise, the happier I get, and the things that I desire manifest. And not only that, things I don't even know I need manifest. And they come from the strangest resources. We know that there is only one source, but on this plane, there are resources. There are people that can help you. Just follow the laws of God and follow your heart, because your heart should be one with God. That's what God wants. A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. There are many things in this world that could be healed if we just humble ourselves, give our problems to God, and praise our way through it. I thank you for listening to me this day. And I thank you for being in this place at this time, because it's blessed and we are blessed to be in it. I give thanks to Kayla Padgett, Finding My Way Ministries, and Josie's Inspiration Ministries for allowing me the opportunity to talk to you. And as always, I ask you to relax, release, and relate to the God of your understanding. Be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
is more than enough.
More than enough.
Oh, I am covered and I won't walk in
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Thursday, happy almost end of July. This is Tammy Pope, your host of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. As always, the song that you heard before my show is by my dear church member and friend, Amber Patterson DePaola, and you can reach out to me through the network or through the Facebook page to get her music. And I have decided to do something that I said that I wasn't going to do today. And I'm actually going to start teaching through my latest book, Girl, Go Eat a Cookie and Then Handle Business. As you guys know, my show is pretty much about one of the 137 books I've been blessed to write in 6 years. And I was looking for something, honestly, that I didn't have to worry about or really prep for to help me to finish out the year. And so I said, you know what? I am going to use Girl, Go Eat a Cookie. And the story behind this book is actually funny. Last year, after I published my final book, which was hashtag Pray and Ponder, From Hebrews to Armageddon. I was trying to remember the subtitle there. I told my family that I was not going to write anything in 2021 and that I was just going to rest. I was going to chill and focus on marketing the 134 books I had out at the time. And my family was relieved. One, because there's literally no room on my bookshelves here in my bookstore in Memphis, Tennessee, for me to put anything else on. And two, my husband wanted to see me rekindle my love for reading the Bible without the pressure of a publishing deadline. It had really gotten that bad. And come January, the last weekend, my church hosted the Pioneers Conference, a church planners conference where pastors come literally from worldwide to get together for a time of encouragement. And God had a pastor to preach on the Apostle Paul getting up after being stoned, and I was in tears. I was crying literal buckets to the point that I'm texting my husband in church as I'm watching from home. And I'm like, babe, do you hear this? And I said, God, let me get up. And he says, I was thinking the exact same thing. So I remember taking a pad of sticky notes and I wrote down his main chapter, main points and the verses that he used. And I told my husband, I think I know what I'm going to do with this. And he says, Tammy, given what God brought you through in 2020, you have to. So I wrote Girl Go Eat a Cookie and then Handle Business. And then I put a workbook with it, which is available on Amazon, or you can get it from me directly. And then once I finished it, I felt a very heavy sense of something inside of me saying I needed to protect this. So I actually filed for an official copyright on both the book and the workbook. And now I'm going through the trademarking process for the phrase itself. But writing it has made me sit still just as much as my condition did in 2020. I have not written anything else. I haven't been able to write anything else. I haven't wanted to write anything else. And it has really gone further in the 5 months that it's been out than anything that I've ever written. And I want to share it with you as we start to close out this second part of the calendar year. And it will most likely take me into 2022. So the chapter that I'm going to start with today, I skipped the introduction and I'm going to go straight to a chapter entitled Grace, Naps, and Cookies. Now, you may chuckle at these three things, but they matter more to our lives, faith, families, ministry, education, and business than we think. Now, this can be a book all by itself, and if you are familiar with me at all, you already know it's in the works, but I had to include a tidbit of it here. Allow me to take you on a journey and show you why these things are so important. First, grace. This is more than the prayer that we say over our food. It is the one thing that, as you will see in the next chapter, which we will do in August, that we receive from God and give others, yet we leave ourselves out. How? By thinking that we have to be perfect in all of these areas, and it's killing us both inside and out. Even though we already know that, we soldier on as if to say the increased effort we give it is going to make it better. Would you believe me if I told you that not giving yourself grace actually makes things worse? I need to move on before I give away too much here. Second, naps. We hated them growing up and have been apologizing for our attitudes ever since. Sometimes we, just like our children, need to sit down somewhere and chill the heck out before somebody goes missing. Gone are the days of team no sleep. Sweetheart, I know how tired you are, but do you use those few quiet moments to simply close your eyes? Have you poured enough into your family that you can say you need to lay down and you won't wake up to Armageddon? The stress you feel, the angst that worries you, the headache that keeps coming back. All of these are signs that you need a nap. Throw out the statistics that say nap break your sleep cycle and do what works for you. I actually know of a doctor who said this in a workshop, and she has since recanted and has started taking naps herself. So whether it's 10 minutes or an hour, please take a moment to close your eyes and let whatever it is roll off from you. And finally, cookies. Now, you may not be a cookie connoisseur as I am, but they help. Yes, I know you're trying to get right with Jesus, and cookies may be a stumbling block to you. But you might need a good one from time to time. I am known to have at least 9 different types of store-bought and bakery-prepared cookies in my house at one time. My favorite local bakery knows exactly what to do for me when I walk in, too. Although it's a hilarious thought, cookies do have a purpose. So a cookie is anything that gives you the strength to power through when times are tough. For some, it is listening to music, dancing to music, playing music, or anything like that. For others, it may be a message. There may be a favorite motivational speaker that you like to listen to, or even your favorite influencer may have recorded a live or something like that that you refer back to frequently to help you to keep going. It could be a message, whether it's someone you follow on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, your current pastor, your former pastor, a minister in your family, or even an old voicemail that you saved from a friend, family, loved one, church member who may no longer be with you, but you have something recorded from them that you can listen to and it helps you keep going. That's your cookie. Then I'll take it a step further. For some, it could be that good old Southern fried filled with all of God's calories and fat grams, nap-inducing comfort food that makes you the stingiest person on earth. There will be times when a plate of fried chicken, greens, macaroni and cheese, cornbread, a slice of chocolate cake, and a cup of ice cold sweet tea may be exactly what you need. There will be times when that is necessary because depending on who prepares that food for you, it could give you the strength that you need to keep going. You know, there will be times when you want something to eat, and it may not be the healthiest thing, but not only do you want it from that person, or you want it from that place, and it has to be prepared just so or just to your liking for you to be able to eat it. And I understand. I remember one day I was in a little bit of a funk over something that happened with one of my show hosts. And I will never forget, my husband ended up being off from work that night. And he went out to run some errands. And he came back with my favorite banana pudding, which is actually made with crushed homemade butter cookies. Absolutely love this stuff. And he looked at me and he says, I got you a little something to make you feel better. And this banana pudding actually comes in individual cups, and he bought 6 of them. I'm not ashamed to say that I ate 2 of them in less than half an hour. But listen, whatever your pick-me-up may be, that's your cookie. It could be sitting down and doing something with your family, with your friends, with one of your kids. It could be reading a book, going for a walk, going for a drive. You know, whatever it is, that is your cookie. And I actually want you to take some time to think about what that is in your life. Whether it is something tangible or not. Is it something that you hear, something that you see, something that you taste, touch, or smell, or a combination of the two? And more importantly, are you surrounding yourself with it? Are you intentionally surrounding yourself with that thing so that when those lean emotional times do come, you are able to access that thing? And while you may be a little sad or even cry for a second as you allow it to minister to you in the way that you need it to, it will get you to the point that you will need to be at for you to make it through the rest of the hour, the day, the situation, whatever the case may be. So grace, naps, and cookies. These three things, while that may seem comical, they have their place. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. On my next show, we are going to get into the chapter of grace and three types of it. And I want to leave this with you. God gives it to us. We give it to others, but we don't give it to ourselves. That's what we're going to get into next month. But as always, God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Keep charging. And as you know, I dare not end my show without continuing to thank two of the angels in my life. Kayla Paget, we continue to pray with and for you as you try to keep going and take care of your mother and the rest of your family. God bless you. God keep you. And to Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me into having this radio show in the first place, thank you so, so much for both your silent and your verbal support on this journey. I do not take it lightly. I pray God's absolute best for you as you get back into business now that the world has opened. So guys, this is Tammy Polk. This has been the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. And remember, surround yourself with your cookie today. I'll see you in August.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I know how you feel, fighting for another breath, searching for the strength to lift your legs another step. Wounded by the past, how long will it last? Buried by the heavy weight, it won't be long. Keep holding on, you won't have to wear those chains. Help is on the way. Heaven's on your side, every prayer is heard, your rescue's coming just in time. Lift up your eyes, look to the hills, you won't be overcome, it won't be long. Keep holding on, sure as the rising sun. Help is on the way. But it isn't over yet.
Thank you for listening to the Weight of the World radio show hosted by Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series. The following program is not a source of medical advice. Suzanne Mosley and the coaches for the Southern Fried Keto Foodie are not medical doctors, dietitians, or nutritionists. Please consult your doctor regarding information discussed on the show or before beginning any type of weight loss program.
For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7. Welcome again to the Weight of the World radio show on Lifted Authors Radio Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series, and I'm also a ketogenic lifestyle coach. Within my broadcasts, my purpose is not only to guide you along your ketogenic path, but also help you navigate other factors that play into success from everyday life. When coaching my clients, I like to take a big picture perspective. Your health is not only the result of what you eat, but also what you surround yourself with. Today, I want to talk to you about macros calculations and specifically how they correlate to self-control. The term macros is actually short for macronutrients. These are the categories of nutrients that are crucial to not only the ketogenic diet, but all diets. The macros that are a priority on keto are protein, fats, net carbs, and sometimes calories. Calculating macros needs to be centered around your own specific bodily needs. You can find several macros calculators online that may be helpful to give you an idea of where to start, but you're going to need to adjust according to your individual goals as well as your nutritional needs. Most online calculators give you the option to individualize your macros according to basic weight-to-height ratios, whereas many people need to scrutinize their macros even farther than that. Many factors are involved with maximizing your potential on the ketogenic diet. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I'm going to use mine and my husband's names in these to give you a general idea of what I mean. Let's say Suzanne used an online calculator that took into consideration that her beginning weight was 240 pounds, her height was 5'5", and she had a body mass index of 52%. The calculator showed her macros needed to be 60 grams of protein, less than 20 net carbs, 100 grams of fat, and roughly 1,200 calories. Suzanne starts her diet and begins to lose weight and gets excited. However, when she's about 2 months into her plan, her weight stalls, and she doesn't understand why she's not losing weight anymore. I mean, she's being more diligent in this plan than she's ever been to lose weight, and yet she hasn't dropped a single pound in 2 weeks. 3 more weeks in, she loses motivation, still not reflecting any other weight loss. Then she decides that a cheat meal will jumpstart her system. She cheats with her favorite meal. Two things are bound to occur. One, she's going to fall victim to the perpetual cycle of sugar and carb addiction again and struggle to get back on her plan. Or two, she's going to have dropped a couple of pounds, making her think she's back to losing weight, when in all actuality, it was simply a few pounds of residual water weight. Then she stalls again. Only this time, the scale goes up. This is why so many people try the ketogenic diet for a brief period of time and fail to continue to complete success. So why did Suzanne suffer a stall? Well, there's a few reasons I can list. One, her body was working on healing different aspects within her that were being influenced by continuous effective inflammation. Two, she actually wasn't stalled, but failed to understand that the scale is only one tool, and an inaccurate one at that. She failed to see that although the scale had not changed, she had dropped 4 inches from her total body in a week, and her muscle to fat ratio had changed for the positive. This is something her scale had no way of telling her. Number three, she has an underlying medical condition that she never knew about until her body dropped some of the inflammation and it became apparent. Or four, she's diabetic, has PCOS, estrogen dominant, has a family of breast cancer, and has all the markers. Has an inflammatory condition that was exacerbated by her standard American diet, and her body is adjusting slowly due to many years of fighting this condition and many others. Or five, she's under a temporary concern such as stressful environment, and her natural body response is to produce an overabundance of cortisol, which is a main factor in weight gain versus weight loss. So let me factor a few details into play. Suzanne acknowledges her hormone imbalance and needs to offset her net carbs more, so she's directed to decrease her net carbs to 15. Her coach also tells her that her active lifestyle of working in a physical environment requires more protein for muscle support, so she increases her protein to 75 to 80 grams per day. But then she feels hungry all day long, so now she uses fat as an equalizer per se, meaning she eats enough healthy fats to satisfy her hunger. On some days where her stress level is high, she'll need to use fat grams to increase satisfaction and reduce emotional eating. On other days, her body will be producing and using ketones to a prime level of efficiency, and she almost doesn't seem hungry at all. This loss of hunger is because the body is effectively utilizing her own body fat content for energy and sustaining ketosis. Therefore, her body's not demanding a food source. Why? Because fat is her primary source of energy, whether dietary or internal. As each person identifies and experiences different dynamics to how their bodies work, they'll need to adjust their macros accordingly. This is where having an experienced keto coach or a knowledgeable keto-friendly doctor comes in extremely beneficial. So now let me give you a male example. Philip starts his diet at 290 pounds and 6'3". The macros calculator he used only asked for his height, weight, and age. Being over 40 makes a difference in the way the body functions, so definitely a key factor, but not the only one that should be taken into consideration. Nonetheless, he starts his plan based solely on his beginning numbers suggested by the calculator. protein at 100 grams, net carbs below 20, fat grams at 100, and his calories are roughly around 1,800. He begins to lose weight for the first 3 months, and then month four, he stalls. He continues to see the scale stall, his measurements stall, and then eventually he starts to gain a few pounds and he feels lethargic. He's now losing his motivation to stay compliant to his plan, and eventually he has a cheat meal. He also finds that very hard to turn back from. In this case, the macros calculator never took in consideration that his job is physically demanding, or that his family has a history of diabetes, or that he was diagnosed with the beginning stages of fatty liver disease. The calculator also did not account for his longstanding history of emotional eating that plagued him throughout his life from childhood. So Philip decides to contact someone who can help him. He's told by his keto coach to increase his protein to 125 to 150 grams a day and increase his fat grams to pretty much match his protein, 125 on most days, 150 on several days to compensate for the desire to graze all day, which is a problem that typically plagues him. Now I'm going to explain how misinformation can affect these two situations as well. We need to remember that we're all created individually unique and therefore need personalized macros to make it all the way through accomplishing our goals on the ketogenic diet. Now let's take these into consideration. What have these two been taught that keto actually consists of? Suzanne knows she needs to eat meats, low-carb veggies, and fats. So when she goes to the grocery store, she buys deli meat, bacon, a variety of pre-shredded cheeses, and a bottle of canola oil. She notices that a certain famous diet food brand has candy bars that are clearly marked on the box as keto-friendly. But as her stall begins to set in, she doesn't understand why she's still feeling bad, and now she's not losing any more weight. Where did she go wrong? She didn't read the ingredients and was misguided as to what healthy fats truly are. The canola oil she's using is steadily causing added inflammation. Her deli meat has sugar in it, and each portion of those three ounce portions has a net carb count of 4 that she failed to read on the ingredients label and thought she was eating carb-free meat. So, and also, those so-called keto candy bars actually have maltodextrin, dextrose, wheat flour, and corn gluten in them. And her pre-shredded cheese has potato starch as an anti-caking agent in it. All of these ingredients are counterproductive to the success on keto. She comes to realize that all the ingredients added up to her being kicked out of her state of ketosis, and now she's having stalls in her weight. So let's go to Philip. Philip has read on a Lazy People's Keto Plan site that as long as he keeps his carbs under 20, he can eat anything he wants if it fits in his macros. He buys low-carb, wheat product-based tortillas. He eats barbecue from a local restaurant that has unknowingly been smoked with a sugar-based dry rub. He gets to the end of the day and thinks he still has 12 carbs left, so he takes a bite of that leftover pie from the holidays that he's Googled to see how one bite has 10 carbs in it. He thinks he's done so well that day, but in all actuality, he's kicked himself out of ketosis. After several days of what he thinks is following a great plan, he not only stalls, but he starts to gain weight. He becomes ravenous for snack foods and feels hungry all the time, just like he did when he tried low-calorie or low-fat. Philip loses his motivation and decides that keto is just not for him. As you can see in these situations, not having credible and sound information regarding their diet plans, they were destined to fail from the beginning. This is why research is such a key factor in success on keto. When you don't pay attention to your ingredients or give your body more or less than what it needs, it can and almost certainly will cause stalls or contradictions to your efforts to lose weight or see anti-inflammatory effects. Having credible information on keto is also a must for understanding how the plan actually works, and having a complete picture of how your body responds to the foods you eat are the keys to making sure that you have a successful journey. This requires not only research knowledge of the diet itself, but also a clear and descriptive picture of your medical conditions, family history, and individual needs based on your level of activity or level of physical and emotional stress in your ongoing daily environment. So you're probably wondering, so how do I get started on navigating all this? Here's my advice to you. This is what I tell all of my clients. Number one, Research all you can on the ketogenic diet. Weigh out all the information and separate the solid advice from the misguidance. The easiest way to start discerning credible sites to pull information from is to evaluate what the site author is trying to push. Are they telling you cheat meals are okay? As in, kicking yourself out of ketosis is good for you? Are they telling you that you can eat whatever you want as long as it fits in your macros? Are they telling you that keto is a temporary weight loss plan and you can go back to eating how you want once you've lost your goal amount of weight? Are they suggesting that you don't need to see a doctor to start a diet plan? Or are they telling you to scrutinize the ingredients of everything you eat? Are they telling you that keto is a long-term lifestyle change? Are they telling you that you need to consult a keto-friendly doctor to be sure that you're doing what's best for your body? Also, the end result is, are these sites giving you opinion or facts based on clinical evidence and medical information? Number two, find a keto coach or experienced mentor that can help you research. People who've experienced the benefits of keto on a successful plan personally are going to be the most helpful resource in finding a plan that is truly healthy in nature. If your friend or keto coach does not base their advice on sound information, you're going to need to find someone who does. Just because your friend lost 50 pounds in 4 months doing dirty keto doesn't mean that that's going to work for you. Number three, find a keto-friendly physician who's willing to put forth an effort to truly help you become healthy again. Finding a physician that is keto-friendly is becoming a little easier, but still not such a simple task. Here's a few questions you can ask when you're looking to book an appointment. Ask, I'm looking for a physician who's willing to support my decision in bettering my health on the ketogenic diet. Is your office physician knowledgeable at all regarding keto? Another one is this physician willing to work with me and maybe my coach to truly find a dietary maintenance plan that can help me get off medication if that's a possibility? Or does this physician believe that food consumption is a top priority in a wellness plan? You'd be surprised how many physicians don't actually work with food being a top priority. They'll send you to a nutritionist or a dietitian. Or simply, does this physician have a problem seeing a patient who's on the ketogenic diet? You're going to get many responses to these inquiries to office staff. Always be polite and make sure you get straightforward answers. There's nothing more frustrating than an office person telling you that their doctor is keto friendly, only to find out at your first appointment that you're going to spend 30 minutes being told eating nothing but bacon will cause a heart attack. Expect roughly to get a keto friendly response from 1 out of 5 or 6 doctors you call. Sometimes in rural areas, that statistic will actually decrease to about 1 in 10. Also take in consideration, you may have to travel a bit to see a keto friendly physician. My husband's doctor is about 4 hours from where we live. However, he offers e-visits to existing patients for minor concerns. The drive for the initial visit was well worth it to hear a physician tell him that keto was working extremely well. Number four, invest in your health. If anything, this is the number one piece of advice I can give you. You invest in your car. You invest in your house. You invest in your clothes, your career, your family, even the movies you go see or the coffee you purchase on the way into work every morning. Every bit of that is an investment. Anything you include in your life is an investment. And wise choices always fare better than impulse choices. Whether you invest research time or you pay a keto coach to do it for you, invest in your health. This is going to sound very blunt, but it's a truth that none of us can ignore. If you don't invest in improving your health and your way of eating, soon you will be investing in doctor bills where your health has suffered from being put on the back burner. Investing in your health now can save you from a future of health problems later on. Now, remember in the beginning, I told you how I was going to explain how macros correlates with the dreaded term of self-control, or AKA willpower. Everybody hates willpower. By effectively solidifying your macros for your specific optimal plan, you're going to feel less and less like a victim to willpower. You're going to begin to gain an element of self-control over your temptations due to the fact that you're giving your body precisely what it needs and wants. By using specific to your needs amounts of healthy fats to satisfy you, you will not have as many urges or cravings to combat during your weight loss journey. When you're truly satisfied, as in feeling full, Your self-control becomes more manageable when it comes to the food you eat. During this time, you hit a point that the keto community refers to as fat adapted. Fat adapted means that your body has become accustomed to using fat as your primary source of energy and goes for the first source of fat that's available. When dietary fats are not available, as in you haven't eaten in a while, your body is going to begin to pull from your extra fat stores to burn for fuel. This initial goal of becoming fat adapted will show you a whole new way to look at food that is easier and quite honestly more sustainable than any low calorie or low fat diet can offer. The ketogenic diet has given me the ability to eat until I'm satisfied, knowing that I'm not going to be hungry just within a few short hours. I've moved past my obstacle of wanting to snack all day as well as the urge to eat three meals a day. My battle with eating all day every day has come to an end now that I understand how my body works and what foods are actually best for me. Having an individualized macros plan along with faithful obedience in your weight loss journey can launch you into a success that you've truly never experienced before. I've been blown away by this, hence the reason I do what I do every day. Through keto, you have a built-in safety mechanism that helps you stay in line and keep you from overdoing it. Have you ever tried overeating when you feel stuffed? Like eating a big meal, you just can't eat anymore, but man, that looks so good. You want another portion, but you know if you eat it, you're going to feel sick. Well, that's basically what happens with keto. Your stomach gets to a point where you can't eat another bite. Now imagine getting that feeling when you've eaten exactly what your body needs, and then there's no sugar cravings afterwards. It's truly a great feeling. Keto's helped me rein in every excuse I gave myself when I was defeated by my bad food choices from before, and therefore I'm healing my relationship with food, and quite honestly, I'm working on my relationship with Christ as well. With the built-in tool of having the ability to overcome the battle with willpower, I'm able to close a door that I have battled to kick the enemy out of for so long. The ketogenic diet may actually help you overcome your battle with willpower as well. Willpower will always be something we deal with. Only with keto, you'll find that the satisfying dishes help push you past unnecessary cravings that could potentially lead towards self-sabotage. I've come to realize that when I eat exactly to my macro specifications, I am less likely to be tempted by foods because I'm full. I feel full from fueling my body correctly. This is a benefit from keto that I've never experienced before with any other diet program. Hunger and willpower are always working against me, but not anymore. Eating healthy does not equate to feelings of starvation, by the way. Keto automatically teaches you how to reevaluate your food as fuel. Once you've been on keto for a consistent period of time, you'll naturally begin to crave ketogenic-approved foods and less non-nutritious foods that plagued your diet temps before. Macros counts are truly your measuring scale for how to fuel your body efficiently. But remember that ingredients matter as well. Eating anything you want, as long as it fits in your macros, will lead to not intaking the proper amounts of nutrients you need, as well as negating anti-inflammatory effects of the diet. If your body is requesting protein, but you feed it potatoes, you're going to still feel hungry and you'll still have the continued desire to eat more because you haven't given your body what it needs. This can push you to overeat and never feel satisfied, causing a cycle of incessant snacking, which will eventually lead to weight loss stalls or even weight gain. Having proper macro goals and understanding how ingredients affect your plan allow for a solid foundation to build your ketogenic plan upon. If you're in need of a coach to help you create your own ketogenic plan, feel free to contact us for more information on how we can assist you. Email us at author@southernfriedketofoodie.com to request an information packet regarding our services. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I ask you today to give hope and encouragement to those whose weights of the world are too heavy to bear without you. I pray that you give guidance to all who petition your grace and mercy to help them overcome their heavy burdens. There are many people who seek to find a healthier way of life and are looking to you to direct their paths. Please give them the strength to try just one more time and to find a better way to accomplish their goals and in all ways acknowledge you. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining me today. If you're interested in learning more about the ketogenic diet and how it can help you in your journey to better health, check out our page and join our free support group on Facebook. You can also find us on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our cookbook series, The Southern Fried Keto Foodie, in paperback and Nook version through barnesandnoble.com. Or you can find us in digital form as well on Amazon Kindle. If you're in need of a coach to help you create your own ketogenic plan, feel free to contact us for more information on how we can assist you. Email us at author@southernfriedketofoodie.com to request an information packet regarding our services. Please join me every month for more episodes of Weight of the World. For showtimes, follow my Weight of the World or Southern Fried Keto Foodie Facebook pages. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.